you a simple, quick thought tonight, and hope we can be a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And I want to start reading down about verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing here. And in verse number 7, the Bible says this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Now skip to verse 15, please. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. Thank you for the good singing tonight, the good spirit. Lord, thank you for the good day you've given us. Now help us for just a few minutes that we might bring glory and honor to your name. And Father, we'll give you praise in all we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul begins detailing many things that he has went through and that all as believers, many of us will go through the very things that Paul talked about here in the Word of God. He begins there in verse number 8 and he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Been a lot of times I've been in a lot of those ways in my life and in my mind, and no doubt many of you have. But down here in verse 16 is where I really want to get to tonight for the thought for the message. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," I like that phrase there, "our light affliction." Sometimes when we're going through it, it don't seem too light. Sometimes when troubles have come, they don't seem light. But in light of eternity, what we're experiencing here is light affliction. I'm talking about one of these days when we get to that realm where there is no trouble, where there is no heartache, And we'll think about this life as a vapor and how short it was. I began to think about this one day. Many years ago, I was at the house, and it was on a beautiful sunny morning. I was getting ready to go do some visiting. It was during a weekday, and I can't remember what day, but my family was all gone, and I was there at the house by myself. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, I guess. A beautiful sunshiny day, and I had planned on going to do some visiting. So I went out and got in my automobile. And that day as I got my automobile, I pulled out of the driveway and I was just admiring the beautiful day that God had given us. And all of a sudden I noticed something on my car that I hadn't seen when I first got in it. Didn't notice it, but as I began to drive out of the driveway, I looked. There was a little old bug on the windshield sitting there. And I don't know what kind it was, a little old long bug. And had long wings and everything is sitting there on the windshield. As I began to drive, I got to watching that little fella because I thought, well, he'll fly off here, and as I head down the road, he must have enjoyed where he was sitting because he didn't seem like he was in no hurry to vacate that spot. And as I picked up speed, I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I began to watch that little bug, and it seemed like the more speed I picked up, of course, the wind is buffeting him, and seemed like it's all he can do just to hang on where he's at. Have you ever felt like that in your life?
I mean, all one moment everything's fine, one moment everything's good, and the next minute there's a trial that's come your way that's got you to the place that it's all you can do just to hang on to where you're at. I got to watching that little fella and I thought, well, I'll see how determined he is to hang on. So I sped up and I'm picking up 25, 35, 45 miles an hour, and all of a sudden that little bug, man, it seemed like the faster I got, the more determined he was to stay where he was. It's almost like he was looking back through the windshield at me saying, come on, big boy, is that all you got? And I watched that little old bug. Matter of fact, as I drove down the road, I was keenly aware of that little creature on my windshield. I got to thinking about that. Sometimes our lives is much like that. Everything may be good tonight in your life, but a midnight phone call can put you in the storm of your life and get you to the place you feel like you can't hold on to where you're at. I'm preaching on this subject quickly tonight, if I could please, on sometimes you feel like a bug on a windshield, amen. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I don't know if you've ever been through anything like that. But let me tell you something, there's been a few times, Brother Ken, that the storms came so suddenly and so violently, I felt as though I couldn't stay where I was. But let me tell you something, I'm glad that even though the outward man may perish, I mean, there's times it feels like this old outward man doesn't have the strength to do it. But thank God, I'm glad there's a God that said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day I live, the outward man's getting weaker. Every day I live, the outward man's headed back to the dust. But thank God, there's an inward man, Brother Ken, that gets stronger every day by the help of God. I begin to think about that. You say, preacher, what do I need to remember when I feel like a bug on a windshield? I give you four things and I'm done tonight. Number one, just remember this. Whatever you're going through, somebody is watching you. Now, in order to get this message, you got to think like a bug. You got to get in the brain of a bug. Some of y'all won't have no problem doing that. I got some just like this up there in Tennessee. That day as I was there, I was watching that little buck and he's hanging on, and man, the winds are beating him and he's being buffeted. I got to imagine what he might be thinking in his mind. I mean, it's a beautiful sunny day. He's enjoying the sunshine. Everything's good. Now all of a sudden, he's being hurled down the road at 45 and 50 miles an hour. And man, everything's changed suddenly in his world. And let me tell you something right now. He's probably thinking, ain't nobody knows what I'm going through. All my bug friends, none of them know what I'm going through today. Ain't none of them around. Nobody see the trial and the storm that's coming my way. But the whole time he was going through it, the one that had his hand on the wheel had his eyes on him. Boy, isn't it good tonight to know, isn't that good tonight that you may be going through the storm of your life? It may be tonight you feel like nobody knows where you're at. You may be in such a darkness you feel like you can't get out of it. But all the while, the one that's got a hold of the wheel has got his eyes on you. Matter of fact, it seemed like the more distressed he became, the more keenly aware I became of his situation. I got to feeling sorry for him. I let up on him. Amen. I got news for you. I'm glad there's a God that's watching me tonight. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you face. Hallelujah. He's got His eyes on you. I thought about the story over there. The Israelites leaving Egypt, parked by the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army decided they're going to pull a chase on them. And the Bible said they're distressed there. They think they're going to die. All of a sudden, Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And the Bible said they went across all that night. God rolled the water back. This is what I really like about it. In the middle of the night, while they're crossing, the Egyptians are trying to follow them. The Bible said God looked down through the pillar of cloud. He not only saw the Israelites, but He saw the enemy. And the Bible said that enemy, let me tell you something, I'm glad I'm serving a God not only watches me, but He's watching the devil. And the Bible said that he drowned Pharaoh's army, took off their chariot wheels in the middle of the Red Sea. I've always been impressed. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I've always been impressed by them guys, the pit crews. When them cars come rolling in there, and man, in just a matter of seconds, they jack up. I'm talking about the whole car and change the tires and fill it up with gas in just a few seconds. I've been impressed by that. But let me tell you something, what's even more impressive is a God that can jack up Pharaoh's army in the middle of the Red Sea, amen, and take the chariot wheels off. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm serving a God that's watching me, amen. Had a dear sister in my church. I got to hurry. Dear sister in my church, she got brain cancer. She'd rededicated her life to God. Been there about 2 years. She had been out of church and she got back things right with God. They diagnosed her with terminal cancer. After she'd had her brain surgery, she was up in the choir one day and had a little old hat on her head where they'd shaved her head. Some of the ladies were testifying that day, and one stood up and said, "Preacher, I just want to thank the Lord. I went to the doctor and got a good report this week. And my test came back good." I said, "Praise the Lord for that." Another one stood up and said, I got a good report, preacher." And about that time, that little old lady, she raised her hand. I mean, they told her she got 6 months to live. She raised her hand. She said, "Preacher, can I testify?" I said, "Yeah, you sure can." She said, "I just want to say I have a good report today. Jesus is watching over me." When I got home that day, I asked my wife, I said, "Honey, did I misunderstand Sister Barbara? Did she say she got a good report this week?" She said, "No, honey, she didn't say she got one. She said she had one." Oh, I'm glad, praise God. I'm glad, hallelujah. When you don't get a good report, I'm glad because there's one watching over you. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad you can have a good report, amen. Just remember, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, somebody's watching you. Number two, just remember this. Whatever you're going through, remember, what you're holding on to hasn't changed. That little bug, he started out, beautiful sunshiny day, wind wasn't even blowing. And all of a sudden, here he is now, he's not in the same place he started out in. The conditions have changed. I mean, even though the wind ain't blowing where he's at, buddy, it's just about to tear him all to pieces. But the thing about it is, I could look and I can imagine that little bug looking and saying, "You know what? Everything's just become a blur. This don't even look like the place I started out in." But every time he looked down at that old windshield, what he'd been holding on to, even though everything around him had changed now, what he was holding to hadn't changed. Some of y'all get that after a while, praise the Lord. I'm glad that, listen, there's a lot of times, Brother Bowman, in this journey, you said you've been here 18 years, I've been about that at my church, and I've seen a lot of changes in 18 years. There's been a few times on the journey I felt like everything was just a blur. There's been a few times I was just doing everything I could to hold on to where I was at. But I tell you what, every time I got to feeling like I couldn't make it, and every time I got to feeling like that it was the end, I'd look down, and what I was holding to, that blessed old book, still read the same as it did the first day I ever picked it up. Crowds have changed, and people have changed, and culture have changed, but thank God tonight, I tell you how you're going to make it, praise God, just keep holding on to that never changes, hallelujah, to His name, amen. Your life will change. All of us are going to change in life. I used to know a little lady. She was in the church. I surrendered a call to preach in before I ever was pastor and before I ever was even a preacher. She was a precious little lady. She sat in the pew. She was a quiet little lady by the name of Annie Short. Annie would praise the Lord. She was one of them little saints. She wasn't loud and boisterous, but man, the choir would get to singing. She'd sit back there. She'd go to clapping her little hands and she'd wave them like this. She'd say, "Woo! Praise the Lord! Woo! Praise the Lord! Woo! Praise the Lord." Man, that'd run all over me when I'd sit next to her. I said, "Lord, God," I said, "Lord, I don't know exactly what all she's got, but I said, I'd like to have just a little bit of that on me." And little old Annie, she was such an inspiration. I ended up later being a pallbearer in her funeral. She was up in years. She didn't have much family left, and what she did, they'd had to put her in a nursing home, and I got word. I'd surrendered a call to preach, took a church, so I hadn't seen Annie in a lot of years. It'd been probably 10 years.
Somebody told me that they had put her in a nursing home in Bristol, Virginia, about an hour away from where we're at. And I just had lost track of her. And we were up at the nursing home there in Mountain City one night. We'd went up there to sing for some of the patients and residents. And I was walking out that night from the nursing home, walking down the hall. When I did, I turned the corner, and there stood a little lady holding on to a walker, little frail lady, just real emaciated looking. And when I looked at her, she looked familiar to me. And I looked at my wife. I said, that looks like Annie Short there. I said, you reckon that's her? I heard they had to move her to Bristol, and I hadn't seen her in 10 years. And I said, you reckon that's her? And my wife said, let's go see. And I walked down there where she's just standing there, just staring off into space, holding on to a walker. And I walked up, and I thought, well, I'll get down where she can see me and maybe hear me. And I leaned down, and I said, Annie, is that you? And there was no response from her. She just stared like she was staring into space. And I said, Annie, do you remember me, Preacher Fletcher? And she didn't make any, she didn't show any signs of anything. She just stared blankly. And I thought, well, maybe it's not her. Maybe I'm mistaken. And I was a little bit discouraged. I started to walk away. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, don't ask her if she knows you. Ask her if she knows Jesus. I later found out Annie had had a stroke and she couldn't talk. And I leaned back down and I looked her in the eye. I mean, that blank stare. And I looked at her and I said, Annie, do you love Jesus? And when I said that, I saw a twinkle in her eye. And all of a sudden, them little frail hands came up off of a walker. I said, hallelujah! Aren't you glad? Praise God. You see, her circumstance had changed. The choir wasn't singing now. There wasn't nobody preaching now. She's standing in a nursing home holding on to a little walker. But the thing about it is, what she'd been holding to all them years hadn't changed. Amen. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah! When you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember what you're holding to ain't changed. Just remember whatever you're going through, somebody's watching you. What you're holding to hasn't changed. And remember this, number three, whatever you're going through might just simply be a way to get somebody else where they need to be. That day that little bug was going through what he was going through, it wasn't really even about him. You see, there was somewhere I needed to be. And in order to get me where I needed to be, he was having to go through what he was going through. Sometimes you wonder about them storms. What have I done? You ain't done nothing. But it might be God knows how you're going to react in that storm. And he knows even though hell itself tries to shake you loose, you're going to be like that little old bug. I mean, hell will be trying to get you out of your church. And you're like that little old bug. You'll be holding on the pew. Hallelujah! I like it where I'm at, praise God. I ain't going nowhere. But it's all the while that little bug was going through what he's going through to get me where I needed to be. I had a little lady in my church. One of the most faithful members I had. She was in her 40s. About 43, 44 years old, I guess. Her husband was unsaved. And for 10 years, she would ride our church van. She didn't drive. She stayed at home. She would ride our church van to church, faithfully come to the house of God. She'd help in the nursery. She'd help in anything. Miss Mary, her name was her name, and she was a precious lady. But she'd always pray, preacher, pray for my husband. He never did want anything to do with God. He'd see me come and he'd run from me. He just didn't want to talk about it. She got cancer. She got breast cancer and got diagnosed. And it wasn't good. And she'd been taking treatments, but the outlook wasn't good. And I looked back one Sunday and there sat her husband with her on the pew. And I thought to myself, well, at least he's got that much decency. That was all Miss Mary wanted, was her family to be in church and to be saved. And I said, well, at least he come today. And I didn't expect him back, to be honest with you. I looked back there. She sat back there. She'd lost all her hair. She was taking treatments. Just been faithful little old saint riding a church van. And I looked back there, and he didn't show any emotion, but I preached. And I thought, well, he did that just to make her feel good. I looked back a couple of services, and there he was again, sitting right beside her in the service. And I thought, well, you know, maybe he knows she's not got a lot of time left. He's going to come with her. And was in there one Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost broke in there, and we began to sing. We hadn't even made it to Sunday school, kind of like y'all do around here. I told my family today, I said, I finally found a church that's just about as weird as we are at the church. Half time don't make it to Sunday school and stuff. But that morning, it broke out, and people got to come to the altar, and we were singing, and people was getting help. And all of a sudden, I looked, and that little boy's back there, and tears streaming down both cheeks. And I watched him reach over and grab that little wife by the hand. And here they come down the side. He didn't even make it all the way to the altar. He fell, brother, right about where the front pew is. He's under such a weight, he just fell on his knees, just a thud on the floor. I slid in beside him. I said, Lindsay, we've been praying for you for 10 years. The old boy just sat there and cried, and he begged God to save him. And the old boy got gloriously saved that Sunday. Not too awful long after that, God took Miss Mary home. Now I look up, and on Sunday morning, there's Lindsay sitting back there. And I look back and I see Miss Mary's two sons now sitting there in the house of God. I just baptized her youngest son about 2 weeks ago. And them boys and their wives are now having babies. And I'm talking about these two whole pews of the Jennings family sitting back there when it used to be one little woman that was faithful. One little woman that was faithful. And we was out there at the old rock altar last week, and old Lindsay, he piped up and he said, Preacher, just want you to pray for me that I'll be an influence on these grandbabies. I thought, praise God, it wasn't too long back. We couldn't even get him to come to church. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we wonder about those trials we go through. Sometimes God allows those things to happen to get somebody else where they need to be. I got news for you. There's going to be a grand reunion day one of these days. Hallelujah. Hey, you may be in a storm of your life. Just hold on tonight. It may be God's working on somebody in your life. When you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember somebody's watching you. Just remember whatever you're going through, remember what you're holding to hasn't changed. Whatever you're going through may simply be a way to get somebody else where they need to be. And remember this, whatever you're going through will not last forever. Some of the most precious words in all the Word of God are the words, and it came to pass. The Apostle Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Well, I tell you, sometimes when we're going through it, it don't seem like it'll ever end. But I'm glad one of these days, just hold on. Just hold on, child of God, where you at? Just hold on. Because one of these days, it's all going to be over. Sometimes I get to looking at the journey, I think, Lord, how things are getting bad everywhere you go. Church is falling away. People just falling away from their first love. And I said, God, how much longer can... And it's like the Holy Ghost says, just keep holding on, boy. Just hang in there. That little old bug. You see what happened to that little old bug that day. I was driving and I didn't have far to go. I'm driving down the road and man, I finally got to feeling sorry for him, so I eased up a little bit. I just started easing up and man, he's still getting buffeted a little bit. But finally, I pulled in the parking lot. When I did, you ain't gonna believe what happened to that little old fella. He flew away. He came to the end of the journey and flew away. I don't know if y'all see a parallel there or not. But praise God, he'd held on. He said, I've been through some stuff. But when he came to the end of the journey, he just spread his wings and he took flight. Child of God, hold on. We're getting ready. I can almost see the runway. I can almost hear the trumpet. I'm glad we're getting ready to get out of this place. Thank God. You may feel like that bug on the windshield. Just remember this. It's not going to last forever. Hallelujah. There's going to be a glorious daybreak one day when Jesus shall appear. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He'll help us tonight. Let's bow our head tonight. You've got the little message. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done. And Lord, I pray you'd bless us tonight here in this meeting. Thank you for these people, Lord, how easy they've been to preach to tonight. And God, I pray now that you'd take charge of this invitation, Lord, as we turn the pastor loose. Lord, I pray that you'd just help us. There's one here that's going through a struggle, a trial, a heartache, and they need help from God. I pray that tonight they'll get it here in this place. And Father, I thank you for the days that you've helped us. Lord, when the outward man seemed as though he would perish, and God, you renewed us on the inward man. And Father, I thank you for that. And I pray, God, now that you'd bless every heart that's here tonight. Lord, meet every need according to your mercy and grace. And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Ken, you come tonight.